Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast, Snap Reactions, wide receiver position after week 10. And recording this Monday afternoon, so there might be more more information flowing out about some of the topics that we will discuss, including but not limited to injury situations and the like there. So we'll try and cover that as best as we can here as the information rolls in. But again, before your waivers or anything like that, I would just tune in because there's a lot of information here on injuries this week. Let's start with Arizona. 34 targeted passes, 12 of them were to Rondale Moore, 14 of them were to DeAndre Hopkins. Without Zach Ertz, no Marquise Brown, Trey McBride still hasn't really proven that he can pull a big portion of this offense in his direction. All of a sudden, like, this is a really interesting usage. You look all the way up, Rondale Moore plays 66 snaps out of 68. He runs 38 routes and on 40 dropbacks. So right there in terms of almost universal participation, getting 12 targets on 38 routes, really good numbers there. So that's a really encouraging sign for Rondale Moore. I think he's one of the players that I'm super interested how the second half of the season can get with him, right? Fully healthy, sort of in this offense. Let's see how this goes without Hollywood Brown. Right. Again, I think how this whole situation fits is going to be an interesting projection here going forward. And if healthy, like, it's a really good situation for quarterback Kyler Murray, but no one's healthy. Right. So I think that's going to be one of the big things we'll be watching for. But Rondale Moore, certainly an interesting thing. And again, I think DeAndre Hopkins, right? The question has been asked, do you pay a late first for DeAndre Hopkins? My pivot would have said, well, can you pay a second plus for Juju Smith-Schuster, right? I think, maybe that's, we'll see with his concussion sort of where that is. If you have to pay a late first to get DeAndre Hopkins, right, I think it's okay to do that. I would just caveat it with, I hate to give up the flexibility of that first going forward. So I'd really try and explore every opportunity. Have you explored Lockett? Like, have you gone other directions instead of paying that first in case you need that first at some other point to make another move, right? The problem with making a first for Hopkins is it puts you in a spot where you don't have another chip to play if you need it. And so that would be the one concern that I would have. The price point's okay for a contending team. The flexibility is what really hurts, I think, more than anything else. Atlanta, Drake London, this game, it's some of the usage stuff is a little encouraging, right? So he has 5 receptions and 7 targets. He runs 34 routes on 37 dropbacks. That's really good. 7 targets on 29 targeted passes. That's really good. Again, 7 targets on 34 routes. He'll take over 20%. That's an encouraging sign so far. Again, from a rookie, some good stuff there in terms of all that. Again, 5 for 38. It's not anything you're going to sort of write home for, but scores a touchdown, and that's double-digit fantasy points. You've seen London be pretty efficient on low volume. Hey, this is inefficient, but gets some volume benefit here. Not a huge volume, but the volume helps, and he puts in a double-digit fantasy point game. Like, you'll honestly, after some of the stuff that's happened this year, you'll take it. I'm encouraged about him long-term, but I am realistic about the fact that this could be a kind of a slow burn this year. He's in the mid-teens of the wide receiver position in terms of keep trade cut. I'm interested there. I don't usually say that about wide receivers, young wide receivers, but I am interested in him in that range. And if you sort of adjust it out in terms of, on a per snap basis and a per route basis, and you gave him, an equal opportunity with some of the other guys at the position, you would be like, wow, this London's actually it's pretty good, right? So I think it's kind of hidden a little bit by some of the volume concerns there with him. And I think that's a little bit of an under the radar thing. So encouraged by him going forward. The wide receiver position for the Bills, Gabe Davis continues to basically play every snap, 49 routes on 50 dropbacks. Same with Diggs, 15 targets for Diggs in this game, 9 for Gabe Davis. Diggs is just a volume monster. He scores 24 points without 24.8 PPR points without a touchdown. Like the that is a super rare accomplishment. And it's honestly tough to get 12 receptions and 128 yards and not get a touchdown. So there's a little bit of selection bias, but those are rare accomplishments. Like that's just a really, really high floor and not need a touchdown to score 20 points at the wide receiver position. It's really awesome there. And you get Gabe Davis. Again, he scores a touchdown. He has that weird catch along the sideline. Catch, not catch, drop, not drop. Review, not review. Whatever. Minnesota won. So what can we say? Isaiah McKenzie, 40 routes too. That's a little under the radar there. So 80% of route participation, you know, 5 targets. Not a big performance, but a name I think to keep in mind if you need to stream someone. I'm just thinking about what their second and third, fourth options are sort of in this offense, about how they sort of, you know, what's some other ways to beat you other than Diggs and Allen. And I think, you know, McKenzie could be that in a situational aspect for them. But Gabe Davis really performing kind of exactly what we expected him coming in, right? Wide receiver 24 in points per game. Again, you would come back and you'd say, Jordan, it's been kind of high variance. Like that's what a wide receiver 24 is, right? Like that, if you get 6 or 7 games of him being a top 24 scorer, like that's going to basically get him to that number, you know? And so we've done this research. We've talked about this before, like a 50-50 split in terms of top 24 finishes in a given season is like almost a lock for a top 15 overall season. So Davis, again, when he's been healthy, he's actually in the games where he's not been listed on the practice report, those splits are still pretty good. He's wide receiver 33 at Keep Trade Cut. Again, one of the rare times where you've had a wide receiver who's young overperforming his cost at the Dynasty Marketplace. He's a very rare profile at this point, and one that is frankly surprising because it's very atypical that pattern happens. Typically what you see is young players valued higher than they're producing. Gabe Davis, the exact opposite. All right, next up we've got Carolina. And Terrace Marshall's basically an every down player. It's limited involvement. Only 2 targets on 16 targeted passes, 18 routes on 19 dropbacks. So again, it's every down, but hasn't been super productive. 1 for 43, so that looks good. And you know, when you adjust on a per route basis, it actually looks pretty good when you just look at that. But I'd be a little bit skeptical of kind of depending on big plays from a low volume passing attack at this point, would sort of be my caution. And DJ Moore, again, kind of loitering and quarterback ineptitude is basically where we're at this point. And we'll see going back to Baker Mayfield because, PJ Walker has a high ankle injury. So we'll be watching for that development, and doesn't feel great. Moore, I continue to believe in the talent. Again, he was so good from a young age that I continue to believe in that. And I think that ultimately, like, that's a resilient profile. So I'm interested in him in kind of the buy low perspective. And he'll probably make the list of guys that we do when I do kind of my buy low show, my buy low content later in the week. All right. Let's look at Chicago here, and Darnell Mooney, 25 routes on 26 dropbacks. So again, that's good. He 57 yards. Again, he's kind of living. It's a low volume passing offense. But you take a step back and you say, all right, well, 4 for 57. Like, you're not going to write home about that. However, it's 167 total passing yards. So all of a sudden when you start adjusting and you say, wow, 34% of that, he had a 34% market share. Like, okay, he had a 33% market share of receptions. Like, all right, like, huh. You know, and so one of the things I thought with him coming into the season, like, I bet futures for him, thinking that they would have to throw the ball a ton because they were going to be behind. It was a bad, like, that was the wrong bet. Okay, it was like 66-1, so whatever. But I thought he was one of those guys that could get that type of usage, right? This is, I think now we're sort of seeing kind of this offense. I talked about this in the tight end show. We're seeing kind of the offense that I think a lot of people thought it would be. It'd be Mooney, it'd be Kmet, and then not a ton elsewhere. It's kind of what we're seeing past, you know, as this offense, I think, comes back from, you know, being morbid early on in the season, but the volume's just not high enough. So I actually still like Mooney as a guy going forward, kind of deeper down at the position. You know, and when you start looking at some of the guys sort of in that range, again, I'm starting to think of like different ways in different off seasons. I think it'll be different. You know, maybe one of the mistakes that we made this year was kind of going the Keenan, we went older wide receivers sort of in that deeper range. And some of that hasn't been great. Keenan Allen's been hurt. You know, we like Juju. We like some other guys sort of in that range. You know, Hopkins was cheap. You know, Amari Cooper. So it hasn't all been bad, right? But I start thinking about like, all right, what's different ways that you can maybe blend some different bets? You start looking in that range going forward, right? Going into next year, you've got guys like Mooney. He's at wide receiver 39, right? Juju is wide receiver 35 right now. You just start kind of looking forward and you're like, all right, like there's some interesting stuff there. DJ Moore is still pretty resilient up at 22, even though like it hasn't been great. So he's one that's underperforming his cost. And where you get a guy like Mooney, I think he has a bit more ceiling on that cost. Again, Mooney's Moore's the better player, but you just look at Mooney and I think there's a pretty big gap between those two guys in terms of cost. It's several rounds, but Mooney could strike me as a guy that we're interested in the off season and watching him potentially develop going forward. And so that's the other thing is Chase Claypool only 19 you know, only it's been a very limited. It's 16 routes. I'm sorry. It's he played on 19 snaps and 61 plays this week. I got my numbers confused there. And then he ran 16 routes last week on 43 dropbacks. This week it's 7 routes on 26 dropbacks. So not a good sign. Like that's a very slow integration. You want more. Again, you see a situation like Hockenson that can really rebound quickly. Where the player's good, like they can really jump up and have a good opportunity, you know, quickly. And we just haven't seen that for Chase Claypool. I'm just getting a message here. I don't know if it looks like there might have been a firing of some sort. I don't know. Strong words about Josh McDaniels from. And a vote of confidence from Mark Davis into Josh McDaniel. So be on the lookout in the next couple of weeks about Josh McDaniel's status as a head coach in the league. Cleveland. Donovan Peoples-Jones fluctuating wide receiver 2, right? 9 targets this week. Pretty good performance. It'll be interesting to see sort of what this offense looks like when Deshaun Watson comes back. I think that's the big thing we're looking for. Down game from Cooper this week. However, he's wide receiver 19 on the season in points per game with 14.3 points per game. So overperforming, honestly, what was expected of him by the market and what was expected, especially considering it's a pre-Watson being there. It's a good, solid performance from Amari Cooper this year. All right, next up we've got Dallas, and a huge game for CeeDee Lamb. 11 receptions, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns, 15 targets on 46 routes. He had 15 of the 39 targeted passes, so well over a third of their passing offense going through Lamb, 38% of the targets going his way. So again, lots of routes. That's really good as well. You see that route participation high. That was always a question and concern that we had about him. So great stuff there for him. Again, this will put him, I think, up in a higher range of the position. This is a big one for him because, frankly, he wasn't getting to the point where he needed to be given his cost. This helps to some degree, you know, reset his arc to being kind of up at the elite parts of the position. You get the big game. Again, the one, I guess, caveat or the one concern that I would have about him is the overall volume. 83 targets so far in the season, right? That's good. Right, you see, this game really resets him in terms of, all right, like up in the top 6 of the league in terms of targets. Like That's very notable, right? Then that just wasn't where he was, right? You see him, you know, over just in terms of expectation and the like, it had been lagging his cost, and now you get this big performance from him this week, right? That's encouraging for sure. You see him up to tight end or wide receiver 9 in terms of expectation. Again, so a little bit behind cost, but there's a Marquise Brown in front of him that's at 8. So again, you can take him and just sort of slot him up maybe a little bit, think of him even a little bit higher, right? Top 8 number. You'll probably take that given where his cost was. And maybe this would be a bit of a new reality there for him. He's underperformed his expected yards and his expected reception so far in the season, but has smashed his expected touchdowns. So he's expected for 2.9 touchdowns. He scored 5. So again, we'll see if this is sustainable. We have to hope it's kind of a bit of a new normal there going forward. All right, next up we've got the Denver Broncos. Jerry Jeudy is out here with a. Oh, by the way, on Dallas, I did want to note as well. We got sort of wrapped up in the Jeudy discussion. Gallup, 42 routes. That's good. 6 targets. 4 for 35. Noah Brown, 1 catch, 3 yards on 40 routes. So, again, it's basically a top 3 there at the position where I think Lamb is certainly a tier ahead of the other two guys. Okay, now to Denver. Jeudy, it looks like it's an ankle injury. It's not an Achilles, which is good. It has like a different muscle in the back of the – I don't know. This has been a bit confusing to me to try and read up on because it just wasn't it's not entirely clear. You know, usually, hey, it's ACL, you know, or MCL. Like with the knee, it's, you know, that we get so many of them, it becomes kind of – I'm not going to say routine, but you get a really good understanding. This one feels different, which is a bit of a concern there. And I think we're going to have to watch again going forward. What are the potential fallouts from this? Well, there's not a ton of great options. You see Kendall Hinton basically playing as the wide receiver 2 behind Sutton. In this offense, you see him get 5 targets, 47 routes on 49 dropbacks. So Kendall Hinton, really your wide receiver 2. What a career arc for him. He went back to that, remember the COVID game where he started on like no notice. Pretty wild career arc for him. And again, 4 for 62 in this game. So I think he's a name you're going to note for the waiver wire. Again, it's probably deeper. I don't know how much you trust it in a Russell Wilson offense that's pretty anemic at this point. Again, he throws for 286, but it's 42 attempts, 6.8 yards per attempt. Like, it's just, honestly, that's an improvement, it feels like, from some prior weeks there. But we'll see what the Jeudy fallout is, but this maybe consolidates a little bit more towards Dulcich and Sutton than it does maybe someone taking Judy's job. I think Judy's going to be an interesting guy too, where he ends up falling in terms of his price here going forward. This was one where I said if he doesn't really perform this year, like it feels like it's kind of a cliff. Again, he's at wide receiver 32, and he hasn't really paid much of a price for disappointing. Like, he's very insulated, which is... I think it's just he's an interesting case where he has consistently been more valuable dynasty wise than he has produced, and that is still true. You look at him on the season, for example, he is down at wide receiver 45 in points per game at 10.3. Like, he's consistently underperformed where his cost has been, and it's funny because then you see a guy like Gabe Davis, who's consistently overperformed where his cost has been. And it's just a really different, it's probably, if you boil down to it, if you just say, hey, what explains it, it's probably the draft pedigree, which is funny. Like, you see these things where, you know, we talk about players and you look at them and sort of the, not even necessarily the player specific, but hey, what trends have we learned, right? What sort of things have we learned from historical stuff? And like, that's one of the things that that draft pedigree is pretty durable, and I think we see that in Judy's case, you know, specifically. So it's a it's an interesting as applied, if you were. It's AOD as applied to Judy. Sutton, 10 targets, 48 routes, 6 for 66. You feel like this is one where it should get better. Like it really should get better, but this offense is just, it's really tough in terms of where they're at. He's wide receiver 21 and expected points per game at 14, and he's underperformed by like 3 points. His underperformance is almost all touchdowns too, by the way. It's a couple of points for yards, but it's 3.5 touchdowns under expectation. So you think that's a spot where, hey, this could get better and this could rebound. I think it could rebound favorably, and it just takes things going a little bit better. I don't think, I still have some optimism for Sutton, and like, I still think Russell Wilson is going to get it together. It's trying my faith at this point. All right, next up we've got Detroit, and Khalif Raymond continues to be a high participant in this offense. 28 routes on 30 dropbacks, so that's good for him. Only 3 targets, though. Makes the most of it, 3 for 47. He's a name I'd sort of keep in mind. You know, if you see a game where you think it's going to be a big, you know, especially if it's going to be a big total and they're going to be an underdog, like Khalif Raymond's a name you could stream given some of their injury concerns, depending on the depth of your league and that sort of thing. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 10 for 119. He had just felt like, I was watching some stuff from this game, and it just felt like he was very dominant. It's just and I came back to the numbers, and he had 12 targets on 29 routes. He was, you know what I mean? Like it was Amon-Ra St. Brown everywhere all the time was kind of what their passing game was. And like, I think he's a really good player, and I'll talk about him a little bit more in sort of the range of which he's going in the running back position, comparing him to Swift, for example. But you look at the names around Amon-Ra St. Brown: Higgins, Amon-Ra St. Brown, DK Metcalf, Garrett Wilson, Adams, Debo, Drake London, right? Really good company up there. And I think a little bit of it is, you know, what your sort of specific taste is in terms of wide receivers, but really good company, and a company he certainly belongs with. All right. Green Bay, Christian Watson, 4 for 107 and 3 on 8 targets. Yep, that'll reset the arc of your rookie season. So good performance there for him. He's wide receiver 2. He's jumped up well ahead of Watkins, well ahead of Samori Turi, who had flashed a bit. Amari Rodgers is an afterthought. It's really Christian Watson and Alan Lazard. Alan Lazard came up with a big catch in this game. 3 for 45 there for him. But again, it's Christian Watson with a career game. It hasn't been very many games, and it's been a very short career. So not hard there for Christian Watson, but an excellent, excellent breakout performance here, and probably one we begin to think about him maybe in a more positive light after struggling so far in the season. And certainly like has the physical tools to be a wide receiver 1 if he can sort of get it all together. Still struggling with drops and some of that other stuff. All right, next up we got Houston, and Brandon Cooks. It was a conversation that popped up a bit. You know, is he a cut and redraft? I will say he's averaging 7.25 targets per game. Like, that's not something just to sneeze at. The scoring just hasn't been there. 1.58 yards per route run. Again, that's good. It's not great. Like, it's a bit below what Cooks is typically is expected for. He's got 4 catches in each of the past 4 games. Just hasn't really sprung a big one. He's only got 1 touchdown on the season. So I still think he's, like, if you put him in a different situation, it's probably better for him, right? I think there's a lot of offenses that would be an upgrade over where Houston is. And maybe he'll have a different quarterback or a new offensive scheme or something next year that could potentially boost him, or maybe he's on the move to a different team, something like that. But I don't think he's sort of fallen off. It just kind of seems like it's not going well. And I think that those are, you know, sometimes you can look at, oh, hey, he's really fallen off a cliff. Other times it's just things aren't going well. Has a bit of a feel of things aren't going well more than it is he's just falling off a cliff. I'm still sticking with him. Again, 7.25 targets per game. Like, that's a like that's tough to replace. Like if you're really going out there and you're like, all right, what am I interested in? I'm interested in a lot of targets, a lot of routes, you know, getting a lot of opportunities, and you know, hopefully things will kind of break our way. That's kind of what you're looking for with putting wide receiver threes and fours and stuff like that in your lineup. And Cook sort of fits in that, even though it feels like a bit of a disappointment. Nico Collins has actually been really good, 1.89 yards per route run, which I thought was that jumped off the page to me when I read it. So encouraging sign there for him going forward as well. He'll be a name I think we can maybe monitor if he closes the season well. I think he probably you know, maybe reshapes how people think about his career trajectory. Indianapolis, it feels like, and I didn't look at this, it just feels like Paris Campbell career game, 7 for 76 and a touchdown. He had 9 targets, second most routes ahead of Alec Pierce, actually pretty significantly. He had 27 routes, Campbell did, and then Pierce had 19, 30 for Pittman. So Pittman and Campbell both have 9 targets. There's 27 total targets in this game, so they each have a third of that. So a good chunk there between those two guys. Pittman 7 for 53. He doesn't score, but he's wide receiver 19 in terms of where he's at cost-wise at keep trade cut. It's interesting. Again, he's one of those ones where I sort of come back to and was like, all right, is that sort of worth doing? You know, is that sort of the bet you want, or can you kind of go cheaper there? Because I don't think he has either cheapness, and you feel like in the top, what do we say? Top five rounds, don't take, you take premium players, premium positions, preferably a combination of both, right? And then if you're going to stray from that, you take a premium player. So I think that sort of combination really excludes Pittman as probably being a target guy at that cost, you know, as we sort of look into next year, would sort of be my thought. All right, next up we have the Jacksonville Jaguars. Another big game from Christian Kirk, 9 for 105 and 2. So awesome performance there. 46 routes. Zay Jones also 46 routes with 9 targets. So Zay Jones, he goes 8 for 68 in this game. So really good performances by these two guys. Like this is an interesting team from this perspective of, hey, round two guys, kind of not reclamation projects, because Christian, it's not fair to Christian Kirk. And again, it's not really fair to the Jaguars because they paid him so much money to call him a reclamation project, but second acts that are better, or in Zay Jones's case, this might even be a third act that's significantly better than where they were before. But I think that's a really encouraging sign. When you look at Christian Kirk, for example, he is on the season, I was sorting this. Let's see. On the season, Christian Kirk is all the way up to wide receiver 13 in points per game. There's a couple of guys in front of him, again, that haven't played many games. So Michael Thomas being one of them. So again, you sort of right in that wide receiver 1-2 bucket range, right? That's pretty good. He's got 7 touchdowns, 5.5 expected touchdowns. So far in the season, that's 7th. So really good stuff there for him. And then again, Zay Jones, he's wide receiver 14 in expected points at 4 point, or expected touchdowns at 4.2, and only has 1. So Zay Jones has been performing well, but is underperforming his expectation. He's right on the wide receiver 2-3 tier break there. He's wide receiver 25 in expected points with 13.4, but only has 10.8 points per game. So, which is like wide receiver 43. So you could see some potential bounce back from him. It's a pretty good role, and one that I don't think Trevor Lawrence has really fulfilled so far this season. All right, next up after Jacksonville, we have the Kansas City Chiefs. The big watch here is Juju Smith-Schuster's injury, so that'll be a situation to watch. Marquez Valdez-Scantling led them in routes with 34. It was then Justin Watson at 29, and then Kadarius Toney at 17. Again, Juju Smith-Schuster missed a good chunk of this game, so he was at 16. But Toney, 5 targets in 17 routes, so that's a really good usage. Again, 57 yards on 17 routes. Like, that's a That's excellent. So I suspect that he's going to continue to sort of, it's nice to see him quote healthy after he was quote unhealthy, doing the fake quotation marks as I'm saying that. It's good to see him back to health would be the, it seems like he had a little bit of the Giants flu, and now he's back and performing at a super efficient level. And I'm really encouraged about this, and I'm optimistic about what his arc is going forward. And I think Justin Watson's just, they haven't fully integrated Kadarius Toney, and Watson was just kind of next in line yet. So I'm not super concerned about him being blocked from that perspective. The Chargers were watching Keenan Allen. It looks like Keenan Allen could potentially return next week is sort of the hope. Mike Williams, hopefully as well here coming back. This is a team that could make a run, it feels like to me, but it's really tough with Herbert to really overperform when your wide receiver three is Michael Bandy and he has one target and 0 yards. Like, again, you just don't have the talent there to really perform to the level of which you're capable of. Right? DeAndre Carter's is a good wide receiver three. He's thrust into the wide receiver one role. Again, you can stream him in fantasy. That's fine. But from an NFL perspective, it just seems like it's leaving a ton there. Joshua Palmer's kind of blends in as well. I don't think he's much to write home about in terms of his performance. I'm pretty skeptical of him so far. And Carter, like between the two of them, like they're okay. Like they're okay threes and fours, but not ones and twos, you really struggle. The Rams and the big news here, Cooper Kupp with an ankle injury. It looks like he didn't suffer an ankle break, a broken bone in his foot or leg, or I guess it would be in his leg, ankle area there, which was the concern. But it looks like it's probably a high ankle sprain, so it could be some extended time. I did check out Dr. Gene. He said, and I'll just quote here, the live television angle and single replay did not clearly show Kupp's injury. The Rams announced Kupp's injury as an ankle injury, and after the game, Sean McVay said it, quote, didn't look good, didn't sound good, end quote. The most likely injury lies along the spectrum of a high ankle sprain, from a mid-grade ligament injury to a high-grade injury with a fibula fracture. It's very likely a multi-week injury, whether his initial timetable will be 2 to 4 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks plus, will depend on the structures involved. The Rams will know more after a Monday MRI. And as of present, I have yet to see that actually come through with any sort of update on his status here. And I'm just rechecking my tweets just to see. There's nothing new. So I'm sure he's probably dealing with that today as I'm recording, and they just haven't gotten the news out yet. So that's certainly a situation to watch for. Again, I don't know what the next step is for them. Is it Robinson? Like, he had an okay game. Like, he had 4 catches, 44 yards, but just doesn't seem like he's capable of elevating at this point. Ben Skowronek runs 40 routes. He runs basically plays every play. Van Jefferson's situationally involved. Like, Lance McCutcheon actually got on the field, which was kind of nice. Like, I've been kind of pitching the Lance McCutcheon angle past like week or so, just thinking like, all right, like he was actually good in the preseason. They disrespect the preseason so much that they totally discounted his performance. So I think he could be a guy that maybe adds an element for them that they just haven't had. But really tough here look for the Rams, and that pick could be disastrously high as they go forward. All right, next up here we've got Vegas, and this is a disaster for them. Adams, 12 targets, 9 for 126 and a touchdown, so you'll absolutely take that. Mac Hollins, 2 for 18. Again, I think his opportunity will be there. He runs every route, 40 for 40 in terms of routes on dropbacks this week. 6 targets, again, so then he goes 2 for 18. So that lags a little bit, but hey, I think his opportunity is there. There's no Waller. There's no Renfro right now. I think Mac Hollins is like a streamable wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4 type as we go forward. because he's going to basically be out there playing every snap and running every route. And I think, you know, even if it's not necessarily the most high level performance, I think that opportunity could be pretty good. And I think this team's going to have to throw the ball a lot. So, and there's not a ton there to take the team otherwise. I mean, Josh Jacobs was second in targets on this team this week. That's good for us, but not great for the Raiders, right? So I think he's under the radar, and there's really not a ton of threat for him, for Matt Collins going forward. What else can you say about the wide receivers in Miami? It's a down-ish game for Tyreek Hill, and he still goes for 15 fantasy points, 5 for 44 and a touchdown. Big route participation. Waddle goes 4 for 66, so actually, you know, is the wide receiver one in terms of their, you know, between the two of them in terms of their yardage this week. But it's Hill that finds the end zone. Hill's wide receiver one on the season in overall points. He's wide receiver 4 in points per game behind Diggs, Jefferson, and Kupp. So again, Waddle, I think they're both, these guys are both top 12 dynasty wide receivers. Really, really dynamic wide receiving threats in a really good, I think a surprisingly good offense. Justin Jefferson made one of the most ridiculous catches you'll ever see, and was dominant in this game. 10 catches, 193 yards and a touchdown, 16 targets on 56 routes. Again, I talked in the tight end show about this offense a bit. It's very consolidated. So the top three wide receivers, Jefferson, Thielen, Osborne, 56, 55, 51 routes respectively. Hockenson ran 50 routes. Delvin Cook ran 44. Outside of them, it's only 11 total routes. 5 for Johnny Munt, 5 for Alexander Mattison, 1 for CJ Ham. No other wide receiver other than the top three ran a route. All the targets were basically consolidated into their top four guys. Again, Jefferson with 10, Thielen with 7, Osborne actually with 9, Hockenson with 10, Delvin Cook with 5. The only other person to get a target outside their basically core five guys is Alexander Mattison with 1 target. So this is a very consolidated offense into these guys, and that probably gives you a little bit of faith in Osborne. It certainly gives you faith in Thielen. There's not going to be a ton of sniping from this, you know, from the any ancillary guys in this offense right now. It's very clear what is going on at present, and there's not really a ton here to expect that would change. So Jefferson, wide receiver 1 in dynasty for me. New Orleans. Chris Olave up to wide receiver 8 at keep trade cut. 5 targets, 3 catches, 40 yards in this game. So again, that's not a great game overall. They only threw it for $174 in this game. So again, that's not a huge number. They only ran 47 plays. So some of the participation here is a little bit deflated, if you will, from just a volume perspective. There's some thought that maybe Jameis gets an opportunity. We'll see here how that goes. I think Dalton still probably deserves the starting job. 6 targets for Landry, 3 catches, 37 yards. Tough to really trust him in a lineup at this point. The Giants, Darius Slayton had a big game, led the wide receivers in snaps, 17 routes on 23 dropbacks. That's good for second behind only Wandale Robinson. But again, Slayton's performance of 3 for 95 and a touchdown came on 4 targets. So tough to live that way. Again, good performance. I actually had to stream him in a spot where it just went well. It's one of those teams where things have just, knock on wood, have been kind of going well, like in those senses where I had to stream someone and they kind of came up big. Like I streamed Jordan Akins in that league too. And like the two of them, it was a solid, robust tandem between the two of them, which was kind of nice. Wandale Robinson, 2 for 20 at a carry as well. Kenny Galladay ran 12 routes. Man, he's brutal. 0 catches. Just a complete disappointment. It's like, this is, again, the Kenny Galladay rule. When a team looks like they have a need and they let a guy walk out the door, like that should tell us something. And that certainly told us something, you know, with Detroit letting him leave. It's like the Giants should have known better and are paying for it now. All right. Pittsburgh is the source of the greatest undervalued wide receiver in the league. Deontay Johnson, 79 targets, which is good for 7th overall. He's actually 6th in red zone targets, but has 0 touchdowns. So if you actually look at the top 25 guys in red zone targets, again, Deontay Johnson is 6th. So we got to cast a really wide net for this. Deontay Johnson ranks 6th. If you just look at the guys that are in the top 25 of that stat, there's only two of them that don't have a touchdown. Juju Smith-Schuster with 15 red zone targets, and then Deontay Johnson, who has, I believe, 20. So you just look at that, like, it's a big, it's a really, really bad break for him. He's a volume monster, and he's under, he's very much under, underperforming that. I don't think it's necessarily him. I think it's just kind of the situation. Again, we talked about Freiermuth in the tight end show about how he was, despite in a very tough situation, like, he's overperforming it. And Deontay Johnson just not sort of getting that opportunity. Again, it is 20 targets. I thought it was 20. I didn't write it down, but I was almost certain it was 20. It is 20 red zone targets. Again, that ranks 6th in the league. Just zero touchdowns. So you have to go. Cortland Sutton has 20, by the way, and he's tied with Deontay Johnson, and he has 1. Outside of that, everyone who has, you have to go down to Zay Jones, who's tied for 18th in terms of red zone targets, to find another person that has less than 2 touchdowns. So you just look at these guys, and there's some really clear stuff here where they're not getting, they're just not. Like, Deontay Johnson's just not sort of getting the some of the breaks that you would look for. Again, he has 6 targets where he's actually in the end zone and 0 touchdowns. You just look down, like, you have to go down to Donovan Peoples-Jones, who has 4, to find another one that's like 28th in the league. By the way, Justin Jefferson, I didn't mention this in the Justin Jefferson aspect of this show, but he has 11 targets in the end zone. So 11 targets where he's actually standing in the end zone when he's targeted, and only 1 touchdown. That 11 is actually 2nd in the league, tied with Diggs behind DK Metcalf, who has 13. So Justin Jefferson dominating and still probably has like some ceiling that he hasn't yet explored. So really interesting stuff there, and thankful for PFF having those stats so we can dive into them. But yeah, Deontay Johnson. It's certainly interesting when you look at his cost as well. Pickens is more expensive than him, which I just kind of cracked up. Like, all Deontay Johnson does is perform. Like, again, not that I don't have anything against Pickens, but it's disrespectful. Deontay Johnson's outperforming Pickens and kind of smash outperforming him too. Like, the yardage wise, it's like 30 difference, but again, he has 30 more targets than George Pickens does. It's the yards per route run, like 1.13 for Deontay Johnson. To me, that situation, again, maybe he's totally fallen off a cliff, but he gets targeted so much that I don't think that's true. His career worst before this was 1.61 as a rookie. So I do think Deontay Johnson's in line for a bounce back here at some point. And again, you look at keep, trade, cut. I just did want to cite that he is a wide receiver 29. And George Pickens is wide receiver 17. I can't quite get over that. That's hilarious to me. Deontay Johnson, needless to say, big value at present. Seattle, again, it's Metcalf, it's Lockett. They're the clear top 2, 36 of 40 routes. Metcalf is wide receiver 29 in points per game. Lockett is wide receiver 18 in points per game. Metcalf is wide receiver 12 at keep, trade, cut. Lockett is wide receiver 49 at keep, trade, cut. So those things have been very similar. There's similar arcs here over the past like 3 years where Lockett's been significantly cheaper than Metcalf and has outperformed, has certainly not performed worse than him and has outperformed him, I think, in all but 1 year. San Francisco, Brandon Ayuk is dominated this game. Felt like he was just everywhere. And again, in a passing offense where there was only 28 attempts, he was targeted 7 times. So it probably felt like he was more everywhere than he actually was, but ran every route. 6 for 84. The next best was Juwan Jennings at 4 for 40. Ray-Ray McLeod actually outproduced Deebo Samuel. So, yeah, Deebo Samuel, a bit of an underperformer. He's down to wide receiver 19 in expected points per game after being a top 5 guy last year. Again, that was independent of the running back stuff too, right? That running back usage it shaped how he performed later in the season, but it didn't make him worse. It didn't really make him better. It actually, you could look at it and make it, you know, see it was actually maybe a little bit worse for him to sort of be running the ball than he running all the routes that he was early on. Like it worked out fine, but Debo has dropped this year. I actually don't think it's attributable to not being in the backfield. It's just attributable to him not getting the passing game, you know, not dominating the way he did last year. So that's a big step back for him and a disappointing one. Ayuk up to wide receiver 21 in points per game this season, and he has 44 receptions to Debo's 45. Tampa Bay in that game over in Germany, I think they're still singing Sweet Caroline, and it's a full day later. 71 yards for Chris Godwin leads them and scores a touchdown, so that's good. Up there high in the snap count at 67 out of 75 snaps. He runs 27 routes on 30 dropbacks and, again, 8 targets, so all that's really good stuff. Mike Evans, 5 for 54. Not a huge performance. You'll take 2 yards per route run, and like you'll take a double-digit point game, and that's not great, but you'll take double digits without a touchdown, and you know, that's okay. Julio Jones has a big game here as well, kind of coming on a little bit as a wide receiver 3, and they kept him in bubble wrap, right, kind of to try and make a stretch run. Can he stay healthy and string together a couple of months worth of performances? Well, this could be a start. So we'll see how this goes, and I'm interested to sort of watch his career because he's been such a darn good player. It'd be disappointing if he just sort of fizzled out. But he's back involved. Perriman over Scotty Miller. You can cut Scotty Miller if you try to stream him this week. Nick Westbrook Akina, 29 routes, 7 targets, 119 yards, and 2 touchdowns. That's a not expected stat line of the day, would be probably that one. So good performance there for him. He's going to probably make some waiver wire things. I would be a little skeptical. He ran tied with Treylon Burks in terms of routes. You know, tied for the second most behind Robert Woods. So, I don't think he's this huge performer, but we'll watch going forward. Maybe, you know, maybe this is some relevance. I wouldn't have him near a lineup. Like, he's going to have to show more than just this game. And then you got Washington, who's playing on Monday Night Football. So that gets us all the way through the wide receiver show. And, so we'll have running backs, we'll have quarterbacks, your waiver show as well. I'm going to do some specific, you know, buy low type, you know, retooling stuff, trade deadline stuff here coming up as well this week. So big content packed week for AOD. So glad you're along for the ride. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.